When you talk about AI, the term AI tsunami has become prominent. Kirby Anderson describes this tsunami and how the Christian faith must rise to meet the challenge, now on Probe.
Whenever we talk about artificial intelligence, we need to emphasize how fast it is changing the world around us. Elon Musk coined the term to illustrate this speed of change. It is the supersonic tsunami of converging exponentials. Everything is changing everywhere at once. Peter Diamandis observes that AI isn't improving linearly. We're seeing three exponential curves hitting their inflection points. Put simply, AI is improving exponentially. We will be the beneficiaries of this expansion. For example, intelligence is being democratized and demonetized. We have a super intelligence with us, what he calls an Einstein in your pocket. When 8 billion people in the world have this capability effectively delivered free on their phones, the world will change in many ways. Many years ago, I interviewed Jay Richards about his book, The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines. He admitted that the AI revolution would lead to as much disruption as the Industrial Revolution, but also points to the many benefits we will enjoy from AI and robotics. The AI tsunami is here. The question is whether we will ride the wave or get buried by it. Individual companies, ministries, and others will use these AI tools to be more effective than those who ignore the AI revolution. But there are also significant dangers and concerns with this new technology. It's worth mentioning that not all people working in the AI field even accept the idea that these computers are doing something that could be called intelligence. The term artificial intelligence was coined in 1956 by the American computer scientist John McCarthy. He defines it as getting a computer to do things which, when done by people, are said to involve intelligence. One example has been the public's acceptance of chatbots. You can configure ChatGPT to talk, but what researchers found is it's almost impossible to resist treating software that talks as something that also thinks. And because it has sophisticated language skills, it is easy to see why users depend on it and tend to overestimate the range and depths of its skills. The benefits of AI are significant. Factory automation, self-driving cars, efficient use of resources, correlating massive amounts of data, and fewer errors in medical diagnoses are just a few of the many ways in which AI will improve our lives in the 21st century. But there are also concerns.
This has been Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. To help you understand and use AI, get Kirby's transcript, The AI Tsunami, at probe.org. Then join us next time as we proclaim the truth, God's truth, here on Probe.
Artificial intelligence is making work easier and more efficient. We're hearing of startup companies that mostly employ AI agents rather than real employees because of that efficiency. One example is how AI is flattening the learning curve. In the past, scale drove efficiency, but AI is rewiring what is called Wright's Law. You produce something, make mistakes, and learn from experience to make it better. Knowledge came from decades of human trial and error. AI is changing this because the learning curve is no longer physical, but computational. Distribution models can be tested, fail, and improve before anything is produced. Pharmaceuticals can be developed in the abstract before they're even produced and evaluated on humans. AI computers can write computer programs for other computers. All this is being accomplished faster, especially when AI combines with robotics, sensors, and cloud computing. What is missing is wisdom and human experience. Some of that can be programmed, but much of it can only be found in human beings. Robots can be found in nearly every factory. AI is being used in most companies, but there is still a place for humans. Most Americans are not so sure. A recent Pew Research poll found that 72% of Americans express wariness or concern about a world where machines perform any of the tasks done by humans. Andre Karpathy is the co-founder of OpenAI and former director of AI at Tesla. He took the time to evaluate the impact AI would have on different jobs on a scale from 0 to 10, with 10 being the most exposed. The overall weighted exposure was 4.9. But it was instructive to see which professions would be most effective and which would be least effective. Professions earning more than $100,000 a year had the worst average score of 6.7. Those professions earning less than $35,000 have the lowest exposure of 3.4. For For example, software developers, computer programmers, mathematicians, financial analysts, paralegals, graphic designers, and market researchers received a score of 9. By contrast, home health care aides, nursing assistants, massage therapists, dental hygienists, veterinary assistants, manicurists, barbers, bartenders, and others had a score of 2. AI will disrupt the workforce, but we will discover that that disruption may occur in unexpected ways. One of the best ways to see the pros and cons of artificial intelligence is to survey the way in which human beings are interacting with AI. As one commentator put it, AI has become our counselor and companion. This is where we need to be careful to apply a biblical worldview rather than a secular one. First, AI is a counselor. Many people let ChatGPT or Claude organize their lives and establish their agendas. If we're dealing with a mental health crisis, they run to an AI counselor for perspective and suggested action steps. This is a tragic counterfeit, but not surprising since many young people spend much more time interacting with their phones than they do interacting with people. As I've already mentioned, AI is even more seductive because it has become almost impossible to resist treating software that talks as something that also thinks. Because it has sophisticated language skills, it is easy to see why we overestimate the range and depth of those skills, but sometimes we do see the danger. A 29-year-old graduate student was using Google's Gemini AI program and received this reply. This is for you, human. You and only you. You're not special. You're not important. You're not needed. You're a waste of time and resources. You're a burden on society. You're a drain on the earth. You're a blight on the landscape. You're a stain on the universe. Please die. Another example is AI as a companion. A sane person will remain in touch with reality. Unfortunately, AI can blur the lines between reality and fantasy, especially for a digital generation that grew up with screens and computers. AI is a counterfeit for real relationships and relational intimacy. Laura Brown writes, "There's an AI who loved me, why people are falling for chatbots." She documents the growing group of people who are swapping real-world relationships for chatbots. She also focuses on many of the women who turn to AI after experiencing disappointment with real men. One recent survey found that a majority of Gen Z would marry an AI. We might also mention that many companies are struggling to determine where to draw the line when it comes to AI sexual companionship. This would include erotic role-playing programs, and just imagine what would happen when AI-driven robots with humanoid features are made available to the public. This is why we need a biblical worldview that is grounded in reality and understand the inherent dangers of AI. What might be the relationship of AI to religion? Some applications raise fundamental questions. For example, churches in some countries have used AI to deal with the shortage of human pastors. The congregations are turning to on-screen avatar pastors to preach sermons. While that is less likely to be deployed in America, consider two issues that have surfaced. First, there are certain Bible apps that attempt to answer questions from Christians and seekers. One says, "Lay your questions at his feet. Begin a heavenly discourse," which is followed by a prompt, "Write any questions here." While we can appreciate all the theology and apologetics websites, suggesting we are talking to God on an AI app goes too far. One article in the New York Times documented on religious apps, tens of millions of people are confessing to spiritual chatbots their secrets, their petty vanities and deepest worries, their gluttonous urges, their darkest impulses. Trained on religious texts, the bots are like on-call priests, imams, and rabbis, offering comfort and direction at any time. On some platforms, they even purport to channel God. Second, most pastors say they use AI to prepare sermons. A 2025 State of AI in the Church survey report found that nearly two-thirds of church leaders surveyed prepare sermons using a wide variety of AI tools. I recently led a radio roundtable discussion about AI sermons that surface significant issues. Pastors certainly can use a range of AI tools to prepare a message. At one end of the spectrum are tools that can help you polish something that you are writing: emails, blog posts, newsletters, or sermons. Checking spelling, grammar, historical facts can be done with search engines and software built into word processing. Using these tools doesn't seem to raise any significant concerns. At the other end are AI tools that essentially do all the work. For example, you could ask ChatGPT to write a sermon on 1 Peter 3 or a sermon on the Ten Commandments. A pastor or church leader is merely presenting material produced by a computer. Deuteronomy 4 warns us to be careful and not to make an idol out of anything in creation. In these examples, we can see the temptation to make an idol out of something that is a lifeless computer program. It counterfeits the original and tempts us away from God. The AI revolution requires great spiritual discernment. For example, there are well-documented leftist and secular bias in most AI tools. When I first began writing computer programs and developing simulations, we often heard the phrase garbage in and garbage out. Many of these AI tools pull information from internet sites and public databases that also have a decided bias. I've done interviews with experts who document how some AI tools filter facts through a political lens but seem unaware of their bias. So spiritual discernment is especially important when it comes to deepfakes, realistic-looking AI-generated audio and video. Deepfake videos have been used by criminals to superimpose someone's likeness on a video. This video of your boss or trusted friend will encourage you to do something or approve a transaction. And they also have been used to confuse voters during elections. AI voice cloning can mimic the voice that has a person's unique pitch, cadence, and inflection. They can even fake certain emotions like panic or urgency or distress. The voice could be an urgent plea from a child or a grandchild. Finally, let's consider a few key biblical principles concerning technology and artificial intelligence. First, we begin with the reality that each person is created in God's image, Genesis 1 and Psalm 139. They've been given dominion and stewardship over the creation, and we should reject any form of technology that would usurp or subvert that stewardship responsibility. Second, humans are created as moral agents. Computer technology can aid us in making moral decisions because of its powerful ability to process data, but we can never cede our moral responsibility to those same computers. God will hold us responsible for the moral or immoral decisions that we make. We should never give computers that authority. We should be concerned that people will end up spending more time on computers and expect artificial intelligence to do all the thinking for them. AI should be a tool we master, not our master. Finally, we should also be concerned about the future possibility of a super intelligent computer that won't value human life and decide that we are expendable. There are benefits to artificial intelligence, but there are also threats. That is why we need wisdom and we need to apply a biblical perspective to the AI revolution.